Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals. We have three cases on our argument docket for this morning. We will be doing panel changes between some of the cases, so we'll have a few minutes as we reach each respective argument along the way. Our first case is Powell versus Long, cause number 214-397-CV. I understand the lawyers have now checked in, and if the clerk will announce who's arguing, please.
May it please the court, Ms. Susan Smith to argue for the appellant, Ms. Sonia Carrillo to argue for the cross appellant.
Thank you. All right, Ms. Smith.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Susan Smith with Varghese, Somerset & Smith, and I represent Brooke Powell. Ms. Powell filed the petition to void in the proceedings below. Ms. Long filed a counterpetition for divorce. The trial court dismissed both for want of jurisdiction, claiming that it did not have subject matter jurisdiction to hear the dispute. However, that decision was erroneous for two main reasons. First, the trial court possessed the jurisdiction created by statute within the Texas Family Code to hear petitions to void the marriage. And second, the court's refusal to hear the petition to void created what is essentially a due process violation for my client due to the state's monopoly on granting divorces and other marriage dissolutions. Regarding the statutory creation of jurisdiction, Texas Family Code section 6.307 and 6.204 work together to give trial courts all across Texas the ability to hear and dissolve same-sex marriages. Section 6.204 is the statute that voids same-sex marriages. It states that a same-sex marriage in Texas is void and shall be given no force and effect in Texas. Section 6.307 states that any party to a void marriage may sue for a declaration of voidness as long as the marriage was contracted in this state, which by Texas's own laws, there can be no same-sex marriage contracted in Texas, or if either party to the marriage is domiciled in Texas.
When was that statute enacted?
6.307? Mm-hmm. was enacted in 1997. And section 6.204 was enacted in 2003. Thus, the Texas legislature is presumed to have knowledge of all the statutes whenever it creates new legislation. So the legislature created and crafted section 6.204 knowing that the voidance process existed. And if the legislature had intended to prohibit even avoidance, they would have created an exception to the voidance process for same-sex marriages.
Have you looked at the legislative history on those statutes?
Yes, I have, Your Honor.
What does it reveal? It's pertinent to this case, the facts of this case.
The opponents to the, what I call Texas DOMA, Texas Defense of Marriage Act, the opponents are the only ones that reference divorce, but nobody specifically contemplated divorce when enacting the Section 6.204 or Section 6.307. For the same-sex process. Your Honor, all my client seeks now is to dissolve her marriage here in Texas so that she can then continue on with her life. Right now, she's trapped in what's considered a matrimonial purgatory. She's married in the eyes of the federal government, but she is not married and has never been married in the eyes of Texas. Avoidance would merely bookend this relationship and dissolve any matrimonial bonds that may exist. And that declaration would be entitled to full faith and credit across the nation. If you look...
Excuse me. The parties were married in New Hampshire?
Yes, Your Honor.
Could they go back up there and get a divorce?
Technically, yes, they could, but they would have to establish residency for 1 year. In order to dissolve this relationship, she needs a judicial pronouncement. And by the court refusing to issue or entertain any merits, the court has created what is essentially a due process violation. The courts have the unique ability to, and the sole ability, to dissolve all marriages. A marriage is a contract, and it's a very special type of contract. It requires government permission to enter, and it requires government permission to leave. By denying my client the ability to come to court and seek a dissolution, the court has violated her due process rights. And as the United States Supreme Court said in Bodie versus Connecticut, every litigant should be given the opportunity, a meaningful opportunity, to be heard. And it referenced the unique situation of divorces in this context.
What are your main arguments to respond to the question of even asking for a declaration that the marriage be found void? Does that not require the state of Texas courts to also first say there is a marriage that is going to be recognized by the court? How do we get around that?
Your Honor, the Dallas Court of Appeals in JBHB said that a declaration of voidance does not give effect to the marriage. It merely dissolves anything, any purported semblance of a marriage. And it is recognized that the voidance process is the correct avenue through which to dissolve those matrimonial bonds. It does not give effect to the marriage relationship because it has stated that this marriage is basically a legal nullity. But no same-sex couple wanting a dissolution should just leave it to chance, because then, in the off chance that Obergefell says all states should recognize gay marriage, or if Texas voters approve gay marriage, then suddenly they've been married since 2010.
But what would happen if there were children of this marriage?
In the voidance process?
Yes.
Well, that's a big gaping hole in the voidance process. It's not a perfect solution. It's a better solution than just saying, don't know what you can do, but you're still married. A divorce is the better avenue to protect children of same-sex marriages. But if there were children, one person would be the biological or adjudicated parent, maybe through adoption, and then the other parent, who knows, if they had performed a second parent adoption, maybe they would have a better standing to pursue their rights to the child. But that is a big weakness in the voidance process. But just because it's a weakness doesn't mean that it's unavailable.
So that right now there's no Texas statute that covers that scenario?
Correct.
Under the Texas statute, what about division of property if they have acquired property that, well, what is the status of property they've acquired in Texas at this time? Is it held in co-tenancy or?
It
wouldn't be community property.
It would not be community property, Your Honor. That's another weakness of the voidance process. But again, just because it's a weakness doesn't mean that the tool is completely unavailable for use. As the state of Texas argued in their amicus brief, there is the claims of economic contribution. And I don't want you to construe me standing here advocating for avoidance as to say that the voidance is the preferred method to dissolve these marriages. It's not. Okay? It has a lot of gapes. It has a lot of holes. It is not a perfect substitute. It is not an equivalent substitute at all. It's not a divorce. But it is a tool that is available for my client to use that merely dissolves the matrimonial bonds. That's really all it does. And right now, my client, that's all she's wanting, is just to bookend this relationship and exit this marriage, which she's currently trapped in due to the state of Texas laws and the trial court's refusal to entertain her petition to void.
What can this court do if we agree with your position? Would we remand for the trial court to hold it void, or would we render the judgment the trial court should have rendered and hold that it's void, that the marriage is, void the marriage, putative marriage itself,
right?
Ourselves.
Your Honor, I have asked to reverse and remand, but in the alternative, I've also asked to reverse and render, as I have proven up my ability, in the trial court below to obtain avoidance. So whichever one this court sees fit to issue, I would, my client would be satisfied with either. And also, Your Honor, while this was not an issue that is directly raised by the trial court itself, this is an issue that I have encountered in my dealings with various counsel. A declaration of voidness here would be entitled to full faith and credit throughout the nation. Okay, it is a judicial pronouncement, and under the full faith and credit clause, it is entitled to recognition throughout the lands. All public acts, records, and judicial proceedings are entitled to full faith and credit in every sister state. If you look at Sutton v. Lieb, which was a very messy love triangle involving an Illinois divorce, a New Hampshire void marriage, and then a New York void marriage, the New York voidance of the Nevada bigamous marriage was entitled to full faith and credit in Illinois. However, the enforcement mechanisms will always be left to the sister states. The marriage is void, it was dissolved, but the implications and effects of that voidance would be left up to the sister states. Your Honor, I would like to close with, dissolutions have been available throughout time. While they may not have been favored, they've always been available. Throughout the Bible, you've been able to dissolve your marriages. The King Henry VIII was able to dissolve his marriage to Catherine of Aragon. Denying my client now the ability to void her marriage is erroneous, and it does not stand up to any type of examination when you view it in context with the principles of the Due Process Clause, and then most importantly, the principles under the statute, which the legislature saw fit to create and craft an avenue out. And I would respectfully request that this court either reverse and remand with instructions to void, or reverse and render and void the marriage between my client, Ms. Powell, and Ms. Carrillo's client, Ms. Long. I yield the remainder of my time.
I have a follow-up question. The trial court went ahead and dismissed both claims, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, for want of jurisdiction, both as to the request for a divorce and the request for a declaration of voidness, is that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So are both of those issues up here in this court?
Yes, Your Honor, they are. I have the declaration of voidness. I did plead in the alternative for a divorce. My client would prefer a divorce, but hindsight being what it is, she did not want to go through the rigmarole of trying to obtain a divorce when the statutes and the Texas Constitution state so clearly that it is unavailable to same-sex couples.
So that there is an appeal and a cross appeal both pending before us?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
On the issue of remand or render, are there any fact findings that the trial court must perform prior to declaring a putative marriage void?
No, Your Honor. I believe we've already made all the findings of fact that are necessary to have a declaration issue. If there are no more questions, I yield the remainder of my time.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Ms. Carrillo?
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court. This case is about divorce, not marriage, and I just want to reiterate that. It is, in fact, about a divorce. The only way for this court to avoid putting the constitutionality of Section 6.204 to the test is to remand this case for a divorce. State district courts are presumed to have subject matter jurisdiction unless there's a contrary showing made. In our case, there was no evidence as to the court's lack of jurisdiction. As you all are aware, the state did not intervene in this case, and they chose instead to hide behind an amicus brief. Neither the plain language of the Texas Family Code or the Texas Constitution prohibits the trial court from dissolving a same-sex marriage by a divorce. They could have very easily added in that one extra word, divorce. And they did not.
But it's silent. The statute is silent. It does not say.
It is
say,
silent.
Okay.
Yes, Your Honor.
That you can't get a divorce. It just doesn't say you can.
It doesn't say that the courts cannot give a divorce, Your Honor. The trial court's interpretation is in direct contradiction to the legislature's intent, which would be to have zero same-sex marriages in Texas. Let's do away with all these little guys. So the trial court kind of went out of its way and erred, in my opinion, by saying, no, there is no jurisdiction, because there was no evidence presented to the trial court that the legislature intended this to be a jurisdictional statute. Separate but equal is still unconstitutional. Over the years, the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment has been held to mean that persons that are similarly situated may not be treated different. The trial court found that Article 1, Section 32 of the Texas Constitution deprives Ms. Long of rights and remedies that are available to other married persons of the state of Texas. The trial court went on to find that Section 6.204 of the Texas Family Code deprives Ms. Long of rights and remedies that are available to other married persons. A suit to declare a marriage void does not provide the same property division rights that a divorce does. You might think that that's a quote from my brief, but that's actually a direct quote from the state's amicus brief. The whole theme of the state's brief is separate but equal. Justice Harlan said it best in his dissent in Plessy versus Ferguson, that the Constitution neither knows nor tolerates classes among citizens. This is exactly what will be created if the court holds that Ms. Long's only avenue to end her marriage is through an action to void. This court cannot formulate an opinion that meets the stringent requirements as set out in the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment without remanding this case to proceed with a divorce. Not a suit to void the marriage, but a divorce. Anything else will result in an absolute violation of Ms. Long's constitutional rights to equal protection of the laws.
You don't think we could issue an opinion interpreting the statutes without addressing the constitutional issue
I think
of equal protection?
I do not believe so. I think that that would violate Ms. Long's constitutional rights. The state's position is that Ms. Long's valid remedy under Texas law is to void the marriage. So separate but equal again. The state, in their brief, points to several benefits and legal protections that Ms. Long has access to in a suit to declare her marriage void. The state has no qualms about saying, hey, you know, she has some division. There will be some division of her property in a void action. We just really don't know what it is. And we certainly know that it's not under the principles of community property that other married couples are entitled to. How do we know that?
How do we know that the trial court wouldn't construe the agreement or the arrangement to provide that the two parties held property jointly?
The trial court could, I guess, use the general terms of equity and make some kind of, I guess, use the community property presumption, not really call it that, I guess, or maybe they would. But Your Honor, that, with all due respect, that would still be separate but equal. You can have a void, an action to void your marriage. We're going to treat it like a divorce, but you're not in this class of married people that gets a divorce. You're down here in this second class of citizens, and you get an action to void. And we're going to use the same kind of principles, and we just can't do that. So with the state saying you will get some kind of property division, we just don't know what it is, and we're certainly not going to use the principles of community property, they are at this point saying separate but almost equal. Some of the benefits and legal protections that Ms. Long would be entitled to in a suit to void her marriage would be a temporary restraining order, a temporary injunction after a hearing, temporary orders, and a name change, and then property division. We just don't know what the principles the court would use. All of these things that I've just listed are benefits and legal protections that the court would give Ms. Long by recognizing her same-sex marriage for the purpose of voiding it.
Was there any evidence, excuse me,
Yes.
Was there any evidence introduced at the trial court regarding the existence of property owned by both parties?
Just
that,
that they acquired during
the marriage?
That they each have their own property is kind of all that was introduced.
Okay.
I believe it's very disingenuous for the state to argue on one hand that the court has no jurisdiction to grant a divorce because 6204C of the Texas Family Code prohibits the court from giving effect to a right or claim of any legal benefit, privilege, or responsibility asserted as a result of a same-sex marriage. But on the other hand, it's okay for the court to void her marriage and give her these same kind of benefits and legal protections because it's a void and we just don't want to give her a divorce.
So are you arguing that by voiding it, a court the trial court would have to first recognize that there is a marriage?
I believe they would, Your Honor. And to kind of bolster that argument, if this court remands the case and the trial court gives them a declaration of a void marriage, my client, Ms. Powell, can then take that judgment to other states, and it's going to be recognized under full faith and credit, and it's recognizing that a marriage was there, it's just void now. It absolutely recognizes the marriage, and on top of that, that will be recognized in all 50 states, and there are over 1,000 federal laws that are the benefits are defined by your marital status. So they're going to have, this is a total legal benefit and legal protection, this judgment in changing their status and now giving them, you know, the right to not have to file taxes together and maybe cutting off that Social Security Act, you know, that's building up as married people. So for purposes of the federal government, they recognize the marriage. These people are married here. They've got to file taxes together, but the state will not recognize it and certainly won't divorce it at this point.
But there was one part of your argument, though, that said a judgment of voidness would also necessarily recognize the marriage. But if usually when we talk about void, like in the bigamy scenario or any other judgment that is later determined to be void, usually it's void as if it was not ever in existence.
Ab initio.
Right. Well, I think that because, and I think that no one really knows at this point, but because of the changing state of the law and because there are so many other states now that do recognize same-sex marriages, I think if they move back to New Hampshire today, they're married. And so I think they would have to take this judgment and say, you know, here, undo this or register it there, whatever that process is. But I do think it does recognize the marriage. And also, keep in mind, whenever on the filing of a petition to void a marriage, the Texas Family Code defines dissolution of marriage to include annulments, divorce, and actions to void. So you, as soon as that filing is done, my client can go file for a temporary restraining order pending the court hearing the final case. You know, doesn't matter what they end up doing with it, but you get these legal protections and benefits during the pendency of the case. So if the state's argument is that, court, you don't have jurisdiction because you're giving legal, you know, benefits in the presumption of community property and a divorce, then they can't, on the other hand, say, well, court, you have jurisdiction to void because there are absolutely legal benefits and protections that they get on both sides of these suits.
Well, what about the statute that says that they may get a determination of voidness? 307.
I think that at that point, if the court would have to determine the constitutionality of that statute, and it is going to be unconstitutional because my client would immediately, she would not have no, with the voiding of the marriage, she does not get the presumption of community property. There's no chance for any kind of a spousal maintenance. Any of these things that other married couples in the state of Texas on a drop of a hat, you know, can go down and file for divorce, my client cannot do. And that's absolutely violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment.
What about open courts?
Absolutely, Your Honor. If the court finds that this case can neither be voided or divorced, then she has no remedy at all. They effectively are wedlocked and have to stay married until the law changes, until the big Supremes come down and say, yes, Texas, you got to recognize. So we hope that there will be a divorce option at that point. But it's an absolute violation of the Texas Open Courts provision in the Constitution. And typically, I think the case law has fleshed out that the open courts violation apply to common law causes of action, and family law cases and SAPs or suit affecting parent-child relationships are excluded. However, this is a case dealing with same-sex divorce where they don't have that same opportunity to just go into court immediately. So the 233rd District Court is the only place that my client can go to get a divorce and dissolve this marriage. So without being able to get into court, there's an absolute violation of her due process rights.
What about the cases that are currently pending in the Texas Supreme Court? Is there any likelihood of a quick resolution down there?
Your Honor, I don't believe so. I know that JBHB, which is the Dallas case, which I would point out that it was rendered by the Fifth Court of Appeals before Windsor came out, so it's distinguished in that way. That case has been pending since 2013, so we're going on 2 years. I'm hopeful that at some point we'll get something and that would help us, but for today, as we sit here, my client is stuck. If the court remands for an action to void, we will have to take it up further, I guess, because it will be an absolute violation of her equal protection rights, her rights to due process under the law, the opportunity to be heard.
So you don't argue that the way that the Attorney General has, that we should wait
and
see what the Texas Supreme Court
does?
Your Honor,
I would like to just say that my client is in a very strange position. She can't get divorced. She can't change her status. She's still having to file taxes with her wife, and my client would like to adopt a child now, and the adoption agencies of the state of Texas are saying, well, you're married and your partner isn't joining, so we're not going to grant your adoption. We're not going to even let you be an applicant, even though we won't recognize the marriages for purposes of divorce, but our state seems to be is recognizing it for purposes that, you know, maybe fit their agenda there. So we would urge absolutely that the court do something as soon as possible. We would love if the court would remand the case with instruction for a divorce. Otherwise, we ask the court to declare those two statutes unconstitutional. They absolutely are. They deprive Ms. Long of rights and remedies as the trial court found. I mean, the trial court found that these two laws deprive Ms. Long of rights and benefits under the laws of the state of Texas that other married people get. He found that. He just said, hey, I'm not the proper court I'm declining to declare these laws unconstitutional is what the trial court said.
So really that finding is sheer dicta.
Yeah. The other one thing I would like to just kind of point out, I don't believe that a state district judge can void a valid legal marriage license that was entered into properly under the laws of another state. A state district judge cannot suspend an out-of-state driver's license of a person for failing to pay child support. The court is well aware.
What about in the case of bigamy? Can a judge not void that?
I believe the void.
Because those would on their face be valid, even though there were multiple
right.
marriage licenses there, out there.
I believe all of the bigamy cases are Texas licenses. So they're all Texas marriages.
I wasn't asking about existing cases. I was asking about what if.
I don't believe
you're just saying that someone could be married 5 or 6 times in Ohio and Illinois and New York and all kinds of places, and Texas couldn't void those.
I don't believe they can, Your Honor.
What authority do you have for that?
There's not much on there, Your Honor, actually.
Shouldn't a court be able to do that?
I don't believe that our courts can void something that was legally entered into under the laws of another state. So perhaps if the person was married again in Ohio and it was against their state law, then maybe there's some argument that the court could do that. But
so you're just drawing the distinction that it was legal in New Hampshire and therefore Texas can't do it.
Yes. Yes. It was legal at the time they entered into. And the point is, Your Honor, that in child support enforcement cases, the state of Texas has the right to suspend driver's license for non-payment of Texas licenses. They cannot, without some federal regulation or reciprocity between the states, they cannot go, Oklahoma, boy, we are suspending your driver's license because you haven't paid child support. We can't do that. It's an administrative kind of thing. And our Texas judges don't have the power to do that. And I think the same argument can be made for a marriage license that's legally entered into under the laws of another state. We can't just go void this contract because it doesn't fit with our laws. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Ms. Smith, rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to correct something that I said earlier in response to one of your questions regarding what statutes there may exist out there for children of same-sex marriages. There are statutes that protect children of all marriages that would give a, let's say, a non-biological parent standing. However, the non-biological parent would not be a presumed parent. And that was the statement that I was making, is that in a same-sex relationship, you will generally always have one person that is a presumed parent. That's without question. Their rights to the child are undeniable. But then you'll have one partner that has to jump through additional hoops and hurdles that leaves them vulnerable and subject to completely losing their child. Some things that I would like to correct with respect to Ms. Carrillo's argument. Our courts do possess the power to void marriages entered into from other states, just as they possess the power to dissolve marriages from other states through divorce. In Nevada v. Hall, a United States Supreme Court case, the U.S. Supreme Court said that another state's laws cannot bind Texas, even though it didn't involve Texas. If we are absolutely bound by New Hampshire law, then suddenly we recognize and we permit same-sex marriage, which does violate principles of federalism. Now, if we were required to recognize New Hampshire law with regards to same-sex marriage, then we are suddenly able to divorce. However, that is not a correct requirement under the Full Faith and Credit Clause. Each state is permitted to enact their own laws, and the court below is permitted to view the New Hampshire marriage through the lens of Texas laws as it applies to same-sex marriage, giving the trial court the ability to void that marriage here in Texas. And avoidance just means, like you said yourself, is it's a declaration that essentially the marriage didn't happen. It wouldn't be giving effect to the marriage. It just says, let's take an eraser and just say that it never happened.
It's akin to annulment in my mind.
It's a more extreme version of annulment. You have the divorce, which is mutually exclusive from an annulment, which is mutually exclusive from avoidance. And I yield the remainder of my time if y'all have no further questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Smith. We appreciate your argument. Ms. Carrillo, we appreciate you being here as well, and we appreciate all the briefing and the time y'all have put into this case and this matter. Your case is now submitted, and you all are excused. We will take a short recess to have a panel change for the next case. Thank you.